Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, spending time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. Listen, we need it. I don't know if you are feeling this, but you know, I'm a mom. I've got four kids, and we are approaching the end of July. And as I've been walking through the stores, I'm starting to see all of the school supplies come out, all of the fall decorations come out, even though it's still 189 degrees here in Texas in the shade. And I'm starting to do all of those things to get ready to start a new school year. I have called the optometrist. I've called for checkups. I have scheduled appointments with the dentist and the orthodontist, and I've looked at everybody's sneakers and all of those kinds of things. It tends to get a little bit chaotic. So if that is you, if you are in that stage of parenting, hey, I see you. I appreciate you, and I am praying for you. And you know, we're doing all of this in the shadow of a lot of national chaos. I don't know about you. Again, maybe this is just me, but every day I feel like I'm getting up and looking at the news and then thinking, well, it's been 15 minutes. Has anything else happened? Should I check again? And I feel anxious about it. I do. And I keep reminding myself that we serve a God who is sovereign, who is in control. He is not wringing his hands, sitting on the throne of heaven, thinking, oh no, what's going to happen next? God sees us. He loves us. He cares for us. And I'm really excited to bring this message to you with my guest today. My guest is Dr. Joy Green. She is a pharmacist. How fun is this? Because her whole platform is about prescribing joy. My platform is prescribing hope. And if there is ever a day that we need hope and joy, it is today. And we were actually supposed to have joy during Hurricane Beryl, and I was disrupted, had no power, and it's come today. And I feel like that is some divine timing, and I could not be more excited about it. Dr. Joy Green is the founder of Joytime Ministries. She hosts a nationally syndicated radio feature called Joytime that airs on over 1,500 radio stations worldwide. She is a professor of pharmacy and the author of A Prescription for Joy, Overcome Worry with 5 Steps. She is down to earth. She shares about real life struggles and encourages people, especially women, to choose joy every day. Joy, welcome to the show. We are so glad to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me to come. I've been looking forward to this and was really disappointed when we had to reschedule. But just like you said, God's timing is perfect, and so we trust in Him and are so glad that today was the perfect day for us to talk and share with your listeners.
Well, Joy, just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to know the Lord.
Oh, goodness. Well, I am married to my high school sweetheart. His name is Brian, and I'm a little farther down the road than you are with the mama-ing. So my children are both in college. So although we're excited for them to start a new school year, it is a little different as far as what you were saying with the sneakers in check and all of that. And, you know, I was so blessed to have a godly mother. When I was growing up, my dad was not a believer, and so my mom took my sister and me to church just as soon as we were able to go after we were born. And when I was 9 years old, I gave my little heart to Jesus as much as I knew how at that time. And just like God's Word tells us that we work out our salvation, I have grown in my life and have learned so much more about the Lord as I have been diving into His Word and trying to really understand who He is and His purpose for my life. And so saved at a young age, but growing, I think we all grow until He calls us home. We never fully arrive because there's always things for us to learn about Him, and He sharpens us along the way.
That's absolutely true. And so what inspired you to create Joytime Ministries? How did you go from pharmacist and looking at medication to looking at prescribing joy? How did that happen?
Well, in my late 20s and early 30s, I began to feel a tugging of the Holy Spirit that I was drifting from the Lord. You know, we have seasons where we feel so close to Him, and then we have seasons where we're not praying as much, we're a little more self-centered, we're drifting. And so at my church, I had a very small church. I grew up and lived in the rural area of North Carolina, so not a big city girl. I'm a country girl. I grew up on a farm, and my dad's a farmer. So this small town, but my church was doing a Bible study for women, and it was really our first women's Bible study, and I decided to join. And in it, I began to feel God prompting me to dive deeper into His Word. He was convicting me about the fact that I didn't spend as much time as I needed to. And one thing, and you'll understand this too with your education of being a nurse practitioner, I know you can think back to when you were in nursing school and doing your graduate school, how much time you spent studying. And for me, it was textbooks. I know now it's more online, but back in my day, it was textbooks.
Me
I
too.
Had these, yes, okay. Had these 1,000-page textbooks, right? And mm-hmm. I would lug those things around to the library, and I would study and study and study. I mean, hours and hours a day. And I poured into it. And it was so interesting through that women's Bible study. I felt God's Spirit whisper to me, what if you studied the Bible the way you studied your pharmacotherapy book? What if you cared enough to know me the way that you've cared enough to understand the body and medication and prescription drugs? What if you loved me that much and you poured yourself into knowing me and my word more deeply? And so it was through that a little bit of a chain reaction happened in my life, and I ordered new commentaries for me to study, and I began to dive way more deeply into God's Word. And through that, as the years went by and I was teaching a little Sunday school class of college students at my church, God began to press on my heart and reveal to me that He had created me for a purpose. He'd given me the gift of exhortation and encouragement, and He wanted me to use that to encourage women. And so my family ended up moving to Tennessee, and it was there that I was invited just randomly because a guest of the local radio station had canceled at the last minute. This guy had the flu, and I was friends with the daughter of the DJ, and so her dad called and said, I don't have a guest for tomorrow. My guest has the flu. Do you know anybody who can fill in tomorrow morning at 8 a.m.? And my friend said, have you met Joy Green? She's new to Tennessee, and she has a really great God story. Why don't you invite her? And so just randomly, I was invited to be on this radio show, and he interviewed me, and we had this great one-hour talk about the power of the Lord. And after I left the studio, the manager called and said, hey, you know, we don't have any women voices on this radio station. We'd love to invite you to do a little segment. You could come in and pre-record them all at one time. We'll get you a sponsor. And within about 2 to 3 weeks, Joy Time was born. And then through that, God has connected me to a lot of different Christian music artists, and now we host women's events in North Carolina, and we work with a lot of great artists that you would know their names, and just the ministry is continuing to grow over those years. And I tell you what, as hard as pharmacy school was, running this ministry is harder work than going to pharmacy school. And I know that anyone who's listening who has a ministry, a nonprofit organization, who's doing God's work in that way, understands the work behind that. And I know you do too.
Well, so many inspiring things about that. That is really convicting, first of all, Joy, because you're right. I completely relate. I am in the paper textbook era for sure. I actually did my nurse practitioner school before online school was a thing. So I sat in a desk, you know, with a pencil and a notebook. I completely understand that, lugged those around. And that is just a really convicting thing for me to think about, how much time we put into learning our craft, learning our trade, learning our profession, whatever that is, and thinking about how little time we match and pouring into studying. So you have given me a measure of conviction today for sure, Joy. But one of the things that struck me that you said was that you said that you were randomly, you know, invited to this radio station. And you know what is the best thing about that is that things that seem random to us are not random to the Lord. And we can look back and see, you can see, Joy, that He was preparing you. He was equipping you. He was molding and shaping your heart and igniting your passion so that when that opportunity came, you were ready for it. And I'm so grateful that you said yes and that you have, you know, agreed to follow the Lord in this way. So tell us about more about Joytime Ministries today. If our listeners want to engage and they think, yeah, I could use some joy in my life. Everything's seems heavy, it's dark, it's hard, it is just, you know, difficult and challenging, I feel anxious. How can they connect with you and what kind of resources do you provide?
Oh, thank you for allowing me to share about that because it is such a joy, no pun intended, to be able to run this ministry and the team that I have alongside me who help with the events that we do and the speaking that I do. One of the greatest ways that God has blessed Joytime is during COVID, I began to feel very disconnected from people, just like a lot of people felt. And I'm an extrovert. I love people. I get my energy from people. And so I started doing some Facebook Live Bible study sessions. I had no idea how it would go. I didn't even know if anybody would show up. But on Facebook, our Joytime Ministries page, we had a healthy following of women who connected every week when I would post a short devotional. And so I just created a group page. It's called the Joytime Sisters Bible Study page. It's a group page. And I started doing these Bible studies, and it started growing and growing and growing. And so in 2022, we started reading through the New Testament. So we do 5 chapters a week, and then I come on live on Sunday evenings at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, and I review those chapters just for 30 minutes or so. So in 2022, we did the New Testament. In 2023, we started the Old Testament. This year, we've worked through the book that I wrote and really focused on anxiety. And right now, we're in the book of Job. And so that group has grown to over 6,500 women who are connected to our online Bible study. So for any lady who maybe is the mama of young children, and it's difficult for her to get to an in-person Bible study, and maybe she just doesn't have the life space right now to devote 2 hours a day to doing a very in-depth Bible study, but she wants to be in a Bible study, and she wants to do something that's manageable for her in this season of life, this would be a great opportunity because our Joytime Bible studies are for the busy mama. So if you want to just jump in at any time, we read 5 chapters a week, and then I come on live on that Sunday night, and you can even watch the recordings later. It has grown to where now it's on Instagram, and it's also on YouTube. So that's one arm of the ministry that God has really been blessing because we're staying in His Word, and we're really a sisterhood of women who want to hold each other accountable to being in God's Word on a consistent basis. And women find the format not overwhelming, easy to do, but meaningful, and it enriches their life. The second thing that we have is we have events that we do, women's events. So our big event is in September in North Carolina, and Mac Powell will be there, Big Daddy Weave will be there. It's a day and a half, a Friday night, Saturday morning. So if you ever want to take a girls' trip, a road trip to beautiful North Carolina, go to joytime.org, and you can plug in and see where our events are. Also, there's the radio side of ministry that I love so much. I write those and record those from home in my closet. I have a little recording studio in my closet. And so you can find a few of those segments on our website. But those are really special for me because that's the way that, you know, Joytime started was through radio. And so then just social media. I post different watercolor flower scripture designs on Instagram and Facebook, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, and I write a little short devotional, and women can find that daily encouragement by connecting on social media.
Hold you right there. There's so much I want to hear more on the other side of this break about the other resources that you have. And you're actually a beautiful artist, Joy. I want to talk about that and the epidemic of worry. And we'll dive into those five steps that you can take to overcome worry and find joy. So I'll be right back with Joy Green. Don't go away. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. For Dr. Nurse Mama, I'm Jessica Peck.
Okay. I'm about to have a good day, no matter what they say. Sun is shining down on me, birds are singing praise. I'm about to have a good day. Single way, the God who made the universe knows me by my name, so it's a good day. Baby in my arms, walking through the neighborhood, living in the present, not what I shoulda or could. I remember back when I was low as a rug. Now I'm standing up, look at what my father does, turning all things new, gray skies blue. Hear the church say, and won't he do it? I know he. That's why I'm singing that.
Welcome back, friends. Are you having a good day? You know what? If I'm honest, maybe even before I started this show, I would have said, I'm not having a great day. There are a lot of challenges I have. I am trying to deal with the aftermath of Hurricane Beryl, and there have been just problems and issues and looking at what's going on in the news and other things. But you know what? We can choose to have a good day. I'm going to have a good day because God is on his throne and we are here to help you find hope and joy today. And I'm doing that with Dr. Joy Green. We were just talking during the break and saying, this seems like the start of a joke. A nurse practitioner and a pharmacist walk into a radio show to share with you the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. But we are going to do that. As she is the founder of Joytime Ministries. And Joy, right before the break, you were telling us about all the things that you do. And I interrupted you because we had to go to break. So why don't you finish telling us about the rest of the resources that you provide?
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Well, I am not someone that ever thought I would be an author ever because I'm a speaker and I love to teach and share with people. But I have written a few books and we have a lot of resources. You can find them on Amazon. You can find them over at joytime.org. But I have journals that I've created, like a church sermon notebook you can buy and take it with you to church and take some notes. And it's got all these watercolor flowers in it to make it just so bright and happy and joyful. I have a devotional that I've written, and you'll find several things there. But the most recent book I've written is called A Prescription for Joy, where I use my medical knowledge as a pharmacist, thinking about the body, thinking about how our body responds to trauma and to fear and to worry, and also my biblical knowledge of studying God's Word. And I have tried to come to the ladies who read it to give them the how to overcome worry in their lives and how to get their joy back, because Satan uses worry and anxiety to steal our joy. So that book has been one that I have taken a lot of time in writing it, and you can find it on Amazon or on my website.
Well, I've been following you on Instagram actually for a long time, and your artwork is beautiful. And I'm telling you, if you are on Instagram or on Facebook and you see these scriptures that she's created with such beautiful artwork, I'll tell you, Joy, it just brings a smile to my face, because to see the truth and the hope that is found in God's word and the joy that it brings to my heart, it is just really encouraging. And I think that the world needs more people like that who are going to share joy. And I really want to dive into this book and a prescription for joy and the how to overcome worry with 5 steps. So tell us what you see about the epidemic of worry in the world today. You and I, we just shared, we're both professors, so we're teaching healthcare professionals, but you're at a point of care. You know, you see people who are coming in who are looking for medication. I see people who are looking for health services, and they are worried. What do you see from your seat?
I see, working with students, a complete epidemic of students who use terms that you and I didn't use when we were in our medical programs. Hardly ever did my generation of people say things like, well, my anxiety is really bad today. The only way that I even knew about the word anxiety was from learning about it, learning about the guidelines, and learning about the medications that treated anxiety. And so it is a good thing that our social interactions are more free to share how we feel. But I know that a lot of students are overcome. Like, it is something that burdens them so badly that sometimes they have a hard time functioning. They are so overwhelmed with worry. And then we also see it in our population. So it might be interesting for your listeners to know that based off of what the National Institutes of Health reports, 31% of U.S. adults will experience an anxiety disorder sometime in their life. We're talking about 31% of all Americans, and that's not just experiencing anxiety. That is experiencing an anxiety disorder, which is more severe than having occasional anxiety, which most all of us experience from time to time. And so the enemy is trying to steal our joy. He's trying to keep our minds not focused on the things of the Lord. He wants us to think about the what-ifs. What if this happens? What will I do then? Or what if this doesn't happen? Then where will my life be headed? And so many times we find ourselves just in this bucket of worry that we can't get out of. It's just a cycle. It's just over and over and over. And so I know what that feels like. I've experienced some pretty serious things in my own personal life where anxiety and worry got me down and really stole away my joy. And then God helped bring me back, and he showed me through his word that he's given us the tools that we need in the pages of our Bible to fight back. And so we hear this little phrase a lot. I even have some T-shirts that sell this, you know, for Joy Time. We hear this, choose joy. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We can choose joy every day. But I'll tell you what my message has been this last year with my book publishing. It's been more about fight for your joy. Because it is a battle. We are fighting the enemy for our joy. And I lay all that out in my book, like with my personal experience, also pulling out of God's word what nuggets of truth he's laid out for us on this topic, and then also thinking about the medical side, like our body, physiology, thinking about our psychology, our mindset, all of those things are put together, and I've really outlined that in my new book.
Well, you start with an introduction saying it's okay to feel. And I think that when we look at the world, you know, I often am asked, Joy, is this mental health crisis among young people as bad as people say it is? And I always say, no, it's not. It's worse. And some people think that, you know, well, that's because this generation is soft and they don't know how to handle things. But I think, Joy, that the world has changed. for this generation. We did not grow up living at the speed of a smartphone. We did not grow up having all of the world's bad news delivered to us in a moment. We had places where we could, if we were bullied at school, that we could escape. We had the summertime. We had our grandmother's house. We had times where we weren't connected. We weren't on social media. We didn't feel like we were being recorded all the time. So I see kids who are anxious living in this world at the speed of a smartphone. And I see their parents who are anxious because they don't know how to guide them. And they're afraid. They're very terrified of all of the threats that are coming faster than they can understand them. So I see parents kind of checking out, like, okay, I don't really want to think about the social media thing, but then something bad happens and then they feel bad about not thinking about it. And then I see grandparents who are anxious because they don't know how to help, because they feel like, I'm just struggling to keep up and figure out what in the world happened and how can I help. And so I think that we have to acknowledge that the world has changed and give ourselves a little grace and space to be human and to recognize that sometimes we do feel anxious. And that can be different. Just what you were talking about between a disorder and just feeling anxious. A lot of people wonder, like, what is the difference there? Well, we do as healthcare professionals have some criteria that tells about how long the symptoms are, how severe they are. And that can help you. Having a healthcare consultation can help you know, is this worry or anxiety that you're feeling on the normal spectrum of a human experience, or is this something that is really impacting your daily life? And so, I think that, what else do you have to say to add to that, Joy, about being, it's okay to feel, how you set up it in the introduction?
Right. And I think too, another thing to add is worry. Although worry is not good, and we know that from God's word, worry is normal. And there's something freeing about that, to say out loud, hey, I'm feeling worried about going to get my mammogram because I'm worried, what if I have something show up? And what if it turns out to be something bad? Worry is normal. And even anxiety can be normal, because anxiety is pretty much when you have the physical symptoms of feeling out of control and you have the worry symptoms kind of meshing together. So you have stress in your body and you have worry in your mind, and anxiety is when those come together. And it's normal. So it's okay for us to say out loud, hey, I'm worried about this. But we can't live there, and we can't give worry the driver's seat of our life. So notice that the book doesn't say, get rid of your worry forever, right? The book doesn't say that. We're not ever going to get rid of our worry, but we can learn how to manage it and overcome its power over us. That's the key. It's normal to feel worried. It's not good, but you're going to feel worried from time to time. And you're right. We do live in a different world, and we live in a world where everybody's comparing everybody to everybody else, right? I mean, you get online, you see the highlights of everybody's life, and you start to think, man, my life's not that good. Man, my husband doesn't do that for me. Boy, I wish my children were that smart. Oh, gosh, I wish I had that kind of job, and I could go to Hawaii 3 weeks out of the year. You know, those kind of things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we start to feel discontentment. And we start to question, like, why is my life not as good as theirs? And all of that can cause us to feel like we've missed out. And then we start to feel anxious about that. So you're right. It is a different world. And it is okay. And we should acknowledge how we feel. And it's okay to take those feelings to the Lord. He can handle it. We need to talk to Him about how we feel. We need to ask Him to help us with how we feel.
You know, I often share one of the most misused verses in the Bible comes from Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything. And a lot of times I hear people sharing that scripture, Joy, with like it has a period at the end of there. Do not be anxious about anything.
Right.
Period. That's it. Just stop being anxious.
Mm-hmm.
But that there is a comma there. There is a comma and a but. It says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So a lot of times, Joy, I feel like we think we have a failure of faith if we continue to be anxious and we just can't stop it. Just like, stop it, turn it off like it's a faucet.
Right.
But God gives us an action to do, but in every situation, not for every situation. We don't have to be thankful for every bad thing that happens to us or every challenge we face, but we're thankful in every situation and by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That is how we stop being anxious. But I want to go on, Joy, to you have 5 steps. So we're going to try to get through those in the time we have left.
Okay.
And step one is working through your worry. And I loved how you said that, that worry is in your body and stress is in your mind. I think that's what you said. And then anxiety is when they come together. How do we work through our worry, Joy?
Right. So I like to use the example from Karate Kid. Okay. Do you remember the movie Karate Kid?
I do.
How Daniel's son did all of these habits, like wax on and wax off, and he would, you know, scrub the floor, and he would do all those things. And so we end up forming habits in our life, things that we think about, things that we do. And so thinking about worry, there is no magical button that is attached to your hip bone that says worry. So when someone says to you, oh, just don't worry, you can't just go flip a switch or push a button. We don't have that. But what we have to realize is our habits can help us by changing those habits, changing the channel of what we're thinking about. There's some things we can do daily that can help us learn how to deal with our worry, but it takes work. It's not as simple as pushing a button. It's going to take some honest, hard work, roll up your sleeves, do some assessment of your life, dive into God's Word, get on our faces with a repentant spirit and pray. Be thankful. Have a grateful heart. Do some journaling. I talk a lot about journaling in this chapter, but it's not going to be easy and just 1, 2, 3, stop worrying. You've got to pull your sleeves up, roll up your pants legs, and get ready to work through it. But you can work through it with God's help, and you'll get to the other side.
You know what I love about this is in my book, Behind Closed Doors, I've described it before as a Jumanji-style parenting adventure, like roll up your sleeves. I've said those exact words. And I think that's just the professor in both of us, you know, having a heart to teach and having a heart for practical application. So as I'm looking at this book, A Prescription for Joy, it's by Dr. Joy Green here, our guest today. She's got a lot of journaling prompts throughout it, a lot of interactive activities. And at the end, I particularly love this, Joy. You have like a picture of a prescription. And so, for example, the prescription for chapter one, for working, step one, for working through your worry is memorize the pray tool that you give in the chapter, set aside time each day to pray, practice deep breathing exercises as needed, laugh at least 3 times every day, give generously to others, and use the journaling guide to begin journaling. And it is signed, Dr. Joy. I love this concept of prescription because we are body, mind, and spirit. We don't just have prescriptions for our bodies. We need prescriptions for our minds, for our souls. And so sometimes my prescriptions, Joy, look a little bit like you need some sunshine, a puppy, and some exercise and an extra hugs today. Like that is what you need.
Right.
And then you give a prayer for working through your worry. And as we're coming up on a break here, I'm going to share this prayer with our listeners. And then when we come back, we'll talk about steps 2 through 5. We'll review those for our listeners. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for reminding me that there is nothing and no one as powerful as you. I believe you can take my struggle with worry and use it for something good. You can turn it around. I believe you have a hope and a future for my life, and I want to be free from the effects of worrying too much. I want to be free of the effects of living in fear. Please help me face my feelings head on. Please help me be brave as I work through my worry. I put my trust in you. Amen. Enjoy that prayer. Even though you wrote it, it is straight from my heart. I thank you so much for giving me that encouragement. And when we come back, we'll be talking about more ways to work through worry with Dr. Joy Green. See you on the other side of this break.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training, or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Go tell the world about me. For I was dead, but now I live. I've got to go now for a little while. But goodbye is not the end.
Welcome back, friends. That song is The Commission by Kane, and that's what we're doing today. We are telling the world about the hope that we have found in Jesus. My guest today is Dr. Joy Green. She's a pharmacist and the founder of Joytime Ministries, a fellow professor, and we are teaming together to prescribe hope and joy for a world that is in desperate need of it. Joy, thank you so much for joining us today and for everything that you have provided as a means of encouragement for us in a world where we need encouragement.
Oh, thank you for that encouragement. I'm so happy to be with you today and share with your listeners. And I hope someone who does tune in today finds renewed hope and joy just from the truth that we're sharing from God's Word.
Well, I was just sharing with you during the break that God knew what He was doing when He gave you your name, Joy, because you are a joy. And you said it almost wasn't your name. So I would love for you to share this story.
Yes. Okay. So my mother had my sister and then a few years later got pregnant with my brother, and she had him very early and he died at birth. And so the doctor had told her to never have any more children, that her body would not be able to handle it and it could put her in harm's way. But of course, she got pregnant with me and she was on bed rest with me for over 6 months.
Wow.
So, While she was on bed rest, of course, back then, there was no ultrasound. They had no idea if I was a girl or boy or if I was even going to be okay. But the doctors told her that my heart rate was faint, and they weren't even sure if I would make it. But lo and behold, I was born, and my name was going to be Dee Dee. D-E-D-E, my mother, between it was the initials of my mother's name and my grandmother's name. And I've often said, yes, Dee Dee Tom is probably not quite as catchy as Joy Tom. So up until the day I was born, I was going to be Dee Dee if I was a girl. And when I was born, I did not cry after I was born. And so my mom started thinking, oh no, not again. We're going to have the same thing. I can't take this again. And so the doctor took me and was up and down the hall trying to do things to get me to breathe. I was not breathing. And finally, after a couple of minutes, I let out a very loud cry. And when he brought me back to her, he said, my maiden name was Bowers. So he said, Miss Bowers, I've delivered a lot of babies, but I believe this is the most joyful baby that I've ever delivered. And she changed my name right there to Joy. Is that not just such a sweet story? I know.
Oh my goodness, so Joy, like, that is so sweet. Yeah, Dee Dee, I'm not feeling it. I'm not seeing
right?
it.
Dee Dee is a nice name. If we have any Dee Dees who are listening, hey, we love you.
But that's right.
Dee Dee Tom is probably quite as catchy as Joy Tom for a ministry, maybe. Maybe.
That's
maybe.
Right, exactly. And he just put joy in your heart just from the very beginning. Well, I love this. Well, before the break, Joy, we were talking about the five steps that you prescribe in your book, A Prescription for Joy, Overcome Worry with Five Steps. And we're on step two. We're only on step two, so we're going to have to pick up the pace. But that's okay.
Yes.
What step two is overcoming fear. Ooh, this is a tough one. Tell us about this.
Right. So when you trace back the worry and the anxiety in your life, it will most always trace you back to something you're afraid of, something you're afraid that will happen or that won't happen, or maybe you're living in a fear of something that is happening. Maybe it's in a terminal diagnosis or a divorce or something terrible with one of your children or loved ones. So fear is the root of all worry and anxiety. And in order to overcome the effects of worry and anxiety on your life, you have got to get to the root of it. What's causing it? What am I afraid of? And can I be brave enough to trust the Lord with this fear? Like, even if the worst thing that I'm afraid of happens, can I still trust God with that? Or do I only trust Him in the good times, in the rainbows and sunshine? Can I be so brave to say, Lord, even if this medical test comes back the way that I'm praying it doesn't, I can still trust you even in that fear. So there's a lot of powerful things there. I talk about a tornado that I lived through and a sickness that I went through where I almost died in my 30s. And so that's a pretty special chapter to me because I'm very vulnerable in that chapter about fear.
It is. I read your story about encountering the tornado, and it's riveting. And you even have a photo of this farmhouse that your great-grandfather had built in 1916 for you in North Carolina. And talking about that, I mean, it was like the real-life Wizard of Oz. You mentioned that in the book,
right.
And that is what it seems like. But
right.
I think, you know, just from our health to natural disaster to political calamity to cultural chaos, all of those things, I think that's really important for us to recognize that anxiety, you said it, the root of anxiety is fear. And then we're only anxious because we're afraid. And many a times we're afraid of losing it. And you just said a phrase that I think about a lot, even if. There's even a song about that. Mm. Even if he doesn't, you know, yet though he slay me, I will still trust him. That is a really hard place to get to. But when you shift your perspective to the fact that this world is not our home, that God has already given us everything that we ever need, and he holds us in the palm of our hand, it's easier to address some of those fears. But that is really hard. Well, and step three, you go on to talk about reclaiming your thoughts, because so much of that fear-driven narrative is what you talked about earlier. What if? Well, what if this? Well, what if that? What if this? And then all of a sudden, you've created your own tornado of thought, and you have escalated very far down the path, and it is destructive. How do we reclaim our thoughts, Joy, and love God with our mind?
Right. I wanted to share that with my struggle with worry and anxiety, I knew what to do. I knew that God's word said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. I knew that the Bible told me to be anxious for nothing, but the piece I had missed in my faith journey was this question: how? How do I turn off my mind? How do I stop my mindset from focusing on all these negative things? Where is the how? And so in that chapter 3, I go through the how. Here is how God's word tells us to do it. I talk about the old televisions where you had to get up and change the channel. Like, we didn't have remotes. We didn't have DVRs. We didn't have things like that. And I give all these important steps, like using the big red X to X out that negative thought and replacing it with truth from God's word. I give you the fight tool, F-I-G-H-T, that you can use if you feel yourself getting close to like a panic attack or having a very low moment of worry or stress. And so chapter 3 is all about the how, taking every thought that we have captive to Christ, and really looking in Philippians chapter 4, where we learn about, here are the things to think about. Think about things that are pure and lovely and worthy and excellence of praise, all of those things that God's word tells us. So that's a powerful chapter to give you the tools that you need. And you can start using them right away. From the minute you read it, you can start using it in your own life.
You absolutely can. Again, this book is so practical, and looking at it, thinking it's not just read this and change your perspective. It's put your feet to action. And in that fight tool, you talk about how fear is just a feeling, and then immediately respond by trusting in God. Go to God, have courage, and thought check, checking your thoughts. So all of those things are so, so helpful. And then it goes to step 4, and this might be the hardest one. I don't know, Joy. I'm the oldest. I struggle with this. This one is release control. God is in control over all things. And, you know, I think we're seeing that in the world today. There are so many things that are beyond our control, but a lot of us, this is something I really struggle with as a coping mechanism. If I can control things around me, I feel a little more secure, but it is not a healthy coping mechanism. So how have you learned to release control?
Right. I've learned that I am a planner, and I want to have my plan happen. Like, sometimes my prayer life is, Lord, this is my plan. Now, will you make it happen? And really, what God's word tells us is he is the potter and we are the clay. And we were created by him for a purpose. And that purpose was in his mind for us. And so if we shift that and think about, Lord, I want you to change my heart's desire to match your heart's desire. And we remember that we are the clay and we are nothing without the potter. So in this chapter, I talk about how so many things are out of our control, but yet there are some things in our control. We can control the words that we say. We can control what thoughts we are going to let linger in our mindset and which thoughts we're going to change. We can control how much we pray during the day. We can control our Bible study time. There are so many things that we really can control. How I'm going to respond to someone who is not for me. How will I respond to them? So focusing on those types of things helps us realize that God is with us. He never leaves us. And in the bad times of life, we can't change what's happened to us, but we can change and control how we respond to it. And life really is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it, our attitude, our perspective.
And you are really authentic and very vulnerable about it. And reading from your book, you said, when I think about being in control of my life, there are three things that come to mind. One, I have a plan. Two, my plan is the best plan. And three, don't mess with my plan, which I can relate to so much. But then you go on to share about the illness that you experienced and really being out of control. And I don't know about you, Joy, but I think it's even harder for healthcare professionals sometimes because we usually are the ones who are in control. You're going to prescribe the medication you need to get better. I'm going to give you the therapeutic intervention. And when our bodies fail us, that is a pretty scary experience. And you speak from that experience of being so ill. And how did that teach you to release control, Joy?
It taught me many things. Number one, it taught me to trust God, that I had to not just trust what he was going to do in my life, but I had to trust in his character. And I think that's key. When we read through the Bible, very rarely do you read these words, trust God. What you read are these words, trust in God. And there's a difference. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trusting in him means when you're going through something hard and you're desperately praying for him to fix it, you're not trusting that he will always fix it the way that your plan would have it be, but you can trust in who he is. You can say to yourself out loud, no matter what happens, God, you are good. You have promised you will never leave me, and you're not going to leave me in this bad situation. You've promised me that when I belong to you, you are going to work it for something good. You're going to use this for something good. I can't see it right now, and I couldn't see it when I was sick that year, and I was out of work, and I was on the couch, and I had no energy. And I remember crying out to the Lord saying, God, how in the world will you ever use this for something good? Where I have almost died and I have no energy, no strength. I'm wasting away. I'm just losing weight left and right. I was in such a bad, dark place. And I thought, how can you ever use this for something good? But now, so many years later, I can see how he has definitely used it for something good. And it taught me that. On the back end of it, it's taught me to trust in him even when things aren't going according to my plan.
And that brings us to step five, which is where the hope comes in for sure, because step five is your hope is in Jesus. And where can we learn from that? You say in here that worry steals our hope, and it does. But how do we keep our focus on Jesus? How do we do that when life seems like it's fallen apart?
Right. We have to think about our perspective. What are we looking at this situation through? Is it through the lens of the world? Is it through the lens of my desires? Or are we looking at it through God's biblical lens? You know, Jesus told us, in this world you will have trouble. Just because we love the Lord and we've given our lives to him, it doesn't mean we get a free pass from pain. But often I think we believe that lie, that we're supposed to, because we're trying to be a good person. But when we really know who the Lord is, we know that life is hard. Sometimes life just doesn't make sense, and life is hurtful. And when those things happen to us, the lens of our view is blurry. It's blurred by the worry. And so we have to keep our foundation and our perspective focused on who God is, understanding that the Bible is real, and understanding that we can go into his word to find words of life to help us through it.
Well, Joy, thank you for these words. You know, we often hear the quote, comparison is the thief of joy. My daughter says, comparison is that pesky thief of joy. And I would just encourage our listeners here to not let comparison steal your joy. Don't let your circumstances steal your joy. Don't let the challenges that you're facing, the uncertainty that we're facing, steal your joy. And Joy, I'm going to read this prayer that you have from this chapter. Thank you, God, that this life is not the end. This life is only the beginning. When we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives, our eternity is secured. And when we put our trust in Him, we are made new. Thank you that we have real hope in Jesus. The pains and sufferings I experience on earth are only temporary. Please help me when I face hard times in my life. Thank you for the promise and hope of heaven that only comes from you. Amen. Well, Joy, thank you so much for joining us. You can find her as Joy Green on social media, Joytime Ministries, Joytime or joytime.org is her website. And thank you again for sharing joy with us. And to my listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you and give you peace. And I will see you right here tomorrow, where we'll be prescribing more hope for healthy families. And we are going to have a Christmas in July party. I can't wait. I'll see you there.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.